That I, you guys know, I love Dude Perfect and just their videos, and I thought that was perfect for Father's Day, just Father's Day stereotypes. And it's a lot longer than that, but I just wanted to make you guys laugh a little bit this morning. And with that, I do have a couple of jokes as well. I'm afraid for the calendar. Its days are numbered. My wife said that I should do lunges to stay in shape. That would be a big step forward. Why do fathers take an extra pair of socks when they go golfing? In case they get a hole in one. But today is Father's Day, right? And it is an important day. And I look to Father's Day, and I want to start out with something funny, but then also get into something a little more serious. And I love this story about elephants. And there was a bunch of elephants in South Africa, and they needed to move all the older elephants to this other section. They wanted to impregnate the ladies. So they moved all the older male elephants over to another area. And pretty soon after they moved the elephants out of that area, they saw all the teenager elephants, all the juvenile elephants, the males, starting to get into a bunch of trouble. They started crashing into houses. They started doing all these things that they weren't doing before then. And they realized it was because they took the older male elephants away from the younger ones. And because of they didn't have the influence of them around. And I look around our society today and realize that is part of the issue that we have, right? Our fathers, how many fathers do we know that have become absentee fathers who aren't there? And as fathers, we're meant to be there. We're meant to play a role in our children's lives. And we need to. It's so important. Mothers, we celebrated you a couple weeks ago on Mother's Day. But fathers, your role is no less significant. And that we are there. We're meant to be there with our children, raising them and growing them and teaching them, being our spiritual fathers, as well as just being there with them and spending time with the children. We need to. It's vitally important that we are there with our children and with all the children, right? Helping them and guiding them and leading them. With that being said, there is a little gift out on the door out there for fathers. These are beef sticks. There's different flavors. There's teriyaki, which is my favorite. There's barbecue and original. And I'm not sure if there might be one other one out there as well. But please do feel free to grab a beef stick on your way out, and we want to celebrate the fathers today as well. No flowers. Sorry, Don. Heidi can hook you up with flowers later, Don. Announcements. Chrissy, if you can pull up the announcement slide there. That was on your bulletin if you didn't get it all, but just looking there, we are doing camping this coming weekend, this Friday and Saturday. I did send out an email about that if you're interested in going. Please do fill out that so that way we know how many people will be here. Make sure that we have enough room with the septic system going in last week. Ladies Project and Fellowship, that's coming up as well next Sunday. Please talk to Jennifer Howard or Leah Tilson if you want to know more information. And then also the other things going on there, serving at Open Door Mission, Pathway Study Group. We're going to kind of take a little bit of a different break for that over the summer. If you're interested in finding out more of what we're doing, please come talk to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. Men's group as well, Stand for Life. Leah talked about that a couple weeks ago. She'd love to have you come down and stand with her. And then Praying and Fasting Fellowship dinner coming up in July. As we get ready this morning, I want to turn to Psalm 89 and just read a little bit of that this morning. It says, I will sing about the Lord's faithful love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations with my mouth. For I will declare, faithful love is built up forever. You establish your faithfulness in the heavens. The Lord said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build up your throne for all generations. Lord, the heaven praise your wonders, your faithfulness also, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can compare with the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? God is greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, more awe-inspiring than all who surround him. Lord, God of armies, who is strong like you, Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. Let's pray as we get ready to worship. Dear Lord, we We look to you and know that you are our God. We know that on this day that we get to celebrate fathers, Lord, that you are the ultimate picture of what a father is, and that we should look to you for all guidance and leadership, Lord. May you continue to speak to us. May you continue to guide us and lead us and keep our hearts and minds open as you do so, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for this time today that we have to be able to come to you and bring our prayer requests, bring our thanks to you, Lord, bring our sins to you, and know that you are a faithful God, and know that we are forgiven, Lord, when we come to you and repent of our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God, that we get to call you our Father, that we can call you Abba, Father, and that we know that you are a living, breathing God, and that you are so, so good. We look to you for everything today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning again, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I just want to warn you. I warned you last week that Carrie Doyle was coming to preach this week, and I'm sorry that you still showed up today. I guess that they're glutton for some punishment here, Carrie. So Carrie Doyle, who is our district superintendent, is going to be preaching for us today. He's going to be bringing the word. He is a fantastic guy. I love him to pieces, him and Robin, both of them. He is our pastor. Like when I have an issue, when I have something going on that I need help with, I reach out to Carrie, and I know that he is going to help me through whatever I need help with. Not only that, but he's a friend, right? I know that I can call him. Christy and I went out. We took Kim and Robin to Letchworth State Park yesterday. And why? Not because we have to, but because we wanted to, because we wanted to spend time with the both of them, because that's who they are. They're just an awesome, amazing couple. And Carrie's going to be bringing the word here in a second. And I'm going to apologize for that already, but know that the elders love him. We might have to tackle him off the stage at some point in time. So if you see us running up here, just ignore it. Otherwise, we're going to read from, I want to make sure I get this right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. That's going to be the main scripture today. Carrie is going to have some other scriptures as well, and you did get some notes as you walked in. If you did not get notes and you would like some, please raise your hand, and we'll make sure that you get some. Okay, looks like everyone has some. Good. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Junior Church, you may be dismissed, and Carrie, you may come on up.
I want to go with him. Well, good morning. We love this church. We thank God for you. I love telling people about just what a solid Bible church you guys are. Good group of elders leading you right now, and just the number of younger families and singles that are part of this church, and just your commitment to the gospel is clear. Your commitment to the word is clear. Your commitment to being people together in Jesus and then not being stuck inside. Oh, is it not? Thank you. What a good. Good? Oh, sorry. Round one. So is it muted and I need to unmute it or what? Who knows? I was too far away. Oh, but let that be a lesson. He wanted to hear me, Josh. He may come up in a minute and move it. So, where was I? I've never been so insulted in my life, Josh. No, never. We do. We just love this church and thank God for you and pray for you during this time. God's walking with you in this transition time. You're not an un-church until you get your next pastor. You're still a church. You are a church of the living God. You're a cornerstone. God is working still in this place. God is still working through this place. And I just thank God for that. Now, despite Josh threatening me with the elders, I actually wanted to invite them up. I wanted to pray for them this morning because I thought, in terms of Father's Day, if the elders are here, could you come up? Because, in effect, very real way, these are spiritual dads of this church. Amen? And I just thank God for these men and for their ministry. I get to email with them and just have conversation with them back and forth at times. And I just thank God for spiritual daddies. And I know there's a number. Jim is a spiritual dad to a number of folks and just a number of you. But the men who are right now taking this call to serve the church in this very significant time, brothers, thank you. You're doing good. You just keep walking together. If you guys stay united and display that to this body and they follow and pick up that temperament, you'll be fine. You'll stay fine by God's grace. I want to pray for you. Lord, I am thankful for these men, their wives, the commitment they have to serving you, to serving together, to be men of integrity, who take this role seriously, and, Lord, are being used by you. And so, Lord, they do want to add another under-shepherd to this body that could pick up the mantle in kind of a full-time way. And until that time, and even after that time, would you continue to encourage and protect these servants, these under-shepherds of yours? And may they find encouragement from you and from this body, and may they be ongoing sources of encouragement and protection and blessing and example to this body. And we thank you, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we say amen together this morning? Thank you, sincerely. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks, man. My dad went to be with the Lord just a few years ago, but I miss him and I remember him. One of the things he used to do is hand out mints. And so one of the things I do is I occasionally carry mints and give them out, and I tell people, this is in honor of my dad. That'd be in honor of my mom. So thank you, and thank you for the beef jerky there. All right, dads, I'm not preaching just at the dads today, okay? So you can relax, and I'm not going to beat up on the dads today other than a couple of select characters. And dads, we've often been accused of kind of telling the same story over and over again, right? We've got those little stories we like to tell. Brothers, have I got some verses for you. It is so biblical. I'm going to paraphrase what Peter says this morning that we're going to be looking at. Peter says, I want you to remember this stuff. I want to say it to you so many times that after I'm dead and gone, you'll never forget it. And the men go, amen, right? We want to lecture. We have these series of lectures we give. It'd be simpler if we could just label them, look at our kids and go, well, this is a number three, son. You know what that lecture is? Yes, Dad, right? That'd save us a lot of time, but it's not as fulfilling, right? There's something about just saying it one more time. Jim this morning, what a sweet conversation with him. I asked him, I said, you know, how long have you been in this chair and why are you in this chair? And he told me how the muscular disorder when you were 13, a brother-in-law sharing Jesus with him when he was 14, and his coming to know Jesus when he was 14 because he had been afflicted. I said, you need to write this story down. In fact, your life verse is, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Psalm 119, 67 to somewhere in there. But since I've been afflicted, he's follow his ways. I said, brother, you need to write this down. He says, no, I just like telling the story. I thought, there you go, Dad. Peter is writing his final book of the New Testament here. Last time I was here, we were in the last few verses of 2 Peter. Today we're picking up some of the first part of 2 Peter. Now I'm afraid everybody's going to come and grab my microphone. So, and he's writing, as we see in 1 Peter, to these elect exiles, these scattered saints because of persecution. Just this whole region, believers now have been because of persecution. Some because they're Jews and their family are going, wait a minute, you say Jesus is the Messiah? He wasn't. Get out of here. And some because they'd say, wait a minute, Caesar's Lord. You're saying Jesus is Lord? get out of here, or get over here, we're going to kill you. So these are suffering saints who Peter is writing to, and he's affirming them, encouraging them. And he's also, he's reminding them, he says, look, God has given us everything we need to live the life he's called us to live. In fact, he says, we get to be sharers in his divine nature. Now, we don't become God, you know, no matter what they say down in Palmyra years ago, we don't become gods. But we get his life inside of us. He's given us these promises that we can live out what he's called us to be. And then Peter reminds them of this ladder of virtues. Everybody remember to take your daily supplements this morning? Peter's got some supplements for us here in 2 Peter. He says, for this reason, because God's made it possible for you and he's brought you into his kingdom, make every effort to supplement your faith with, and so it gives us ladder of virtues. Take this faith that you have in Christ, add to it virtue. And then virtue, add to that knowledge. And then self-control. And then steadfastness. And then godliness. And then godliness, add to that brotherly affection. And then on top of that, add love. He says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter has laid out for them some, and he says, look, and it's sweet to hear. Someone yesterday described your church having a lot of, Judy, you said one of the elders talking about a lot of little lambs in here, spiritual lambs. What a great description of a body of Christ that you've got newer believers in here. And so here Peter's writing to these newer believers and saying, okay, you've put your faith in Jesus. He's how you're saved. Now, here are some traits, some characteristics you need to be adding to that faith, virtue, a knowledge of him, self-control and discipline and brotherly affection and love. In fact, he says, if you have these virtues, you'll be fruitful. You're going to be effective in serving God. So that's when we get to verse 12, and Peter says, and I'll read it again just for us to, because, hey, it's biblical. You get to be reminded. He says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, these virtues, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in my body, this tent, to stir you up by way of reminder, since you know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. He repeats himself by repeating himself about reminding people that he's going to remind people. That's a dad right there. So dads, before we move on and pray, dads, be affirmed that your kids will go, Dad, I know you told me. And you can say, you're welcome. And here it comes again. Well, let's pray, because you've seen this passage before. But here it comes again. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for your fatherly reminder, prone to wander. Lord, we feel it, prone to leave the one we love. We, Lord, are forgetful, straying creatures. We thank you for the reminders from your word, by your spirit, by spiritual moms and dads, and through the gathering of the saints together. And I pray, Lord, that this time, even looking at this passage, would be another nudge to grow in godliness, and that we would pick up the ministry of reminding as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we see that there's a ministry of reminding folks. Now, we do want to make sure we're not talking about nagging people. You can go overboard, so I've been told. More? Down? Better? Up? Yeah, I just put it right in my mouth. Is that good? Okay. I feel like I'm eating something. Now I'm a ministry. Thanks, Cece reminded me. She wasn't nagging me. There's a ministry of reminding, and every one of you go, I've never thought about that. Part of my job is to remind, part of my responsibilities before the Lord towards other believers is to be part of reminding them of who Jesus is, what he's done for them, and how they are to live out their faith to honor him. Jogging memories is an invaluable ministry practice. Peter says,
always to remind you, as long as I'm in this body, this tent, and what an image. I was asking Christy, there she is, you know, just how comfortable she is with scouts. I said, and so they went camping. Her mom's or dad's extended family all got together once a year, had this big tent camping time. But when you set up a tent, it's known that it's like, I'm going to be here for a few days, then we'll pack this thing away, and then we'll get to go home, right? And Peter says, my body's like a tent. It's a temporary dwelling, and soon enough I'm going to be able to go home. I'm going to always keep reminding you, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to make every effort to. So at any time you can recall, he's serious about this ministry of reminding. I get images here of when our daughter was heading off to college. And she had done 2 years at the local junior college and community college, and now she's heading off to the big four-year university. And she and Robin were going to be driving out there together, and I'm going to stay home and hold down the fort, and Mom was going to go help nest for the baby girl. And I clearly remember standing at the edge of the carport with her, and I had things I wanted to say, and I said a few. Then I just remembered, no, at some point you got to let them go, right? And so it's almost a sense of where there was a change of relationship with us, of her moving away. And Peter's going, I want to make sure I've said this enough so you can remember it. So if you are sometimes you're thinking, you feel like the Lord is nudging you to remind someone of something, and you go, oh, I don't want to be a nag. I don't want to be. No, there may be that the Spirit's reminding you, okay, not the full sermon this time, different method, different means. But if the Lord's nudging you to remind someone of something, you let them know. Not just your physical kids, within the body as well. Maybe who is it today that's the Father's Day is hard for them? It's a complicated day. A young friend of ours who, a veteran who suffered war injuries and in the VA and drug and alcohol abuse from his background and after the Marines and living on the streets for a while. We got to know him through the VA. He came to Christ. We've had a hand in discipling him, and now he's doing ministry. He let me know this morning. I sent out a text to a number of folks, and he let me know, he said, thank you. I'm heading off to a prison to do ministry today. So this was a timely reminder. And I wrote back and said, tell those men that they do have a dad who loves them. Chuck Colson said that with Prison Fellowship years ago, they provided cards for the inmates for Mother's Day, and the cards were wiped out in no time. They said, hey, this is a great idea. Let's provide cards for the men for Father's Day. And they went largely untouched. So maybe some men in here today need to be reminded, look, I know you had a tough childhood. Look, you just need to know there are some spiritual daddies in this church who are here for you. And maybe there's some young women here who need to be reminded that there are some good, safe men that you can find shelter and protection from. You saw a bank of them up here. And there's other men in here as well. And it might be that you, young ladies, take initiative with a guy in this church and say, look, I don't have a dad to help me do this. Could you walk with me and could you help me vet guys that I'm dating? You know, some of the guys are already in the wings doing that, on the standby, right? A good spiritual dad's on the standby and wants to be able to say to a young gal or young guy, can we talk about this choice you've made? Or, hey, he's a keeper. We affirm this. Jogging memories, encouraging people in the Lord is an invaluable ministry practice. And we all need truth reminders. I want to remind you of these qualities, the virtues that I talked about there in 5, where he says in verse 8, for these qualities. Look what he says. He says, knowing and holding the truth is not enough. I intend to remind you, though you know these things and you're established in them. So this is these are solid disciples. They're moving forward with Jesus, and even they needed to be reminded. Some of you look at some of the younger folks here and you go, well, they got it together. I don't need to say anything to them. Maybe you do. Just, hey, you're doing a good job. Hey, Dad, keep Dad on with your bad self. Keep dadding. Hang in there. It's worth it. It's hard. I get it. We all need truth reminders. Now, I've been talking kind of old to young some of you younger folks can't imagine that you could ever be an encouragement to some of the older folks. You go, they got it together. They've been walking with Jesus for 50 years. Who am I as a spiritual punk to offer any words of encouragement to them? You can. Josh is a spiritual punk. He encourages me on occasion. Wasn't this morning, but there have been times. Robert and I have found just, increasing joy when we see the gospel in good, godly hands. What an encouragement you are among other people in this church. What an encouragement to know people who know Jesus, love Jesus, been found by him as we sang, who are seeking to share the gospel and walking faithfully. Man, what an encouragement. Punk. We all need reminders. Just knowing and holding the truth is not enough. We're to grow in it. Add to your faith, he says, increasing. It's right to remind you. And he says, reminding here, it helps rev us up and motivate us. I want to stir you up by way of reminding. Now, dads, I'm guilty, you're guilty, mom, sometimes we stir up our kids in the wrong way by reminding them stuff that we need to let them forget, right? They hurt us. And when we wait for the right time to deal that card, God have mercy on us to be more like him and less like us, right? But there is a stirring up by way of reminding. Hey, remember, I know you're frustrated now. Remember that time, by God's grace, you wanted to quit and didn't, and how good that felt to be accomplished trusting Jesus? You can do that again. Reminding can be a positive stirring up and reminding. Remember how Hebrews says, don't neglect the gathering, forsake the gathering of one another? Give thought. Instead, think about how you can stir up, spur on. It's the idea of sitting on the horse, kicking in his flanks, because you can't say butt in church, kicking the horse in his flanks and moving it forward. It's kind of like being a burr under the saddle, so to speak. We're to do that in our ministry to one another. So if someone's frustrated, discouraged, or stalled out, they'll move into the sidelines. You come alongside and say, look, take a break, but don't get lost, and don't quit. Catch your breath. Let us cover you for now, and let us bring you back on, and you keep moving forward with Jesus there. Reminding, it helps rev up and motivate. I did scouts. I wasn't an eagle. I was a turkey, I think. I'm not sure what rank I got in scouts, but hey, who was that? Where was that? Oh, was that with you? Okay, yeah. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. That was my first mistake. And where was I? I got to start over now. I did scouts. Now, maybe I was a little bit on the A and the D and the H and the D. I don't know. It wasn't until I was an adult and I always loved the scout book. The scout manual is the coolest thing. If someone breaks a leg, here's how you splint it up. If someone falls off a cliff, here's how you throw them rope. You live to hope your friends got hurt so you could help them. Right? Here's a tourniquet around their neck, tight. My brothers did not appreciate that. And once they woke up, and all this cool stuff. So I flipped through the book here, flipped through the book here. And then I realized, oh, look, it starts with the simple and moves to progresses to the more complicated. Look at this book. It's got structure and order to it. No, just flip to the cool stuff, Carrie. We need these reminders. The scout, scout book like that, the spiritual reminders of us to continue to grow and motivate one another, to add to these virtues in an orderly fashion. It's a ministry of reminding. By the way, I think I still have my old scout books. I still love flipping through them. Boy's Life was the best magazine in the world. And was it Scouting Now or Scouting Magazine? You can't keep track. A good scoutmaster helps remind folks and stirs them up. Remember what you learned? Before you get your life or a star, what comes before eagle? He's alive. So next is eagle, right? So you have your board of review and the count, you know, at some point before you turn 18, and you'll be reminded and asked about all these skills that you've been building on. Brothers and sisters, we're all spiritual scoutmasters, guiding people through, walking them, building skills that are practical so they can then help their friends when they get spiritually hurt as well. Reminding helps rev up and motivate people. Reminding others creates an enduring ministry, a lasting ministry. He said, I want to make every effort so that after my departure, you'll be able to remember these things. You know, I could apply this very temporally, temporal fashion. So we'll be leaving here in a little bit, and all God's people said, amen, whatever. And we'll be heading back down to the Pittsburgh area. And so I can say, well, I want to make sure that I made this clear enough so when I leave here, it'll ring in your ears, you know, to walk together in unity and trust God for the next pastor and in his timing and don't rush things. It'll happen by God's good grace and stay patient. You know, follow your leaders and encourage your leaders and work with your leaders and the team that's working on that. Peter's saying his departure, he means death, right? So his enduring ministry is, so you'll always be able to remember these things. I keep my dad's memory alive by buying mints and giving them out to people. That was the holiday orange edition. Usually it's the spearmint. This was orange. I mean, over the top. This is good stuff. And I give it. It's interesting. Sometimes people go, oh, okay, thanks. But more often than not, they get it. That I'm having a moment with them to say, this is an honor of my dad. And there are times they give them out with tears. I miss my dad. He said, but there's an enduring ministry he had in my life. And I thank God for it. He wasn't a super saint. He wasn't a perfect man. He provided for us, he took care of us, became an elder in the church later in life. I want to be remembered to the glory of God without apology. Robin and I, we like thrift stores and cemeteries. We like buying dead people's old stuff, I guess. I don't know what that means, right? I never thought about it like that. That's tragic. So we stop in cemeteries. And it's interesting that chosen imagery on a cemetery that they decided or their children decided to remember them by. We rode by one on the way up here Friday, just outside of Kane, Pennsylvania. And there's one, the marker says Cornelius. Well, that's her maiden name. It's always struck us. We had a chance to finally stop. And there's one particular one, Sean somebody, spelled what I like to call the right way. My middle name is Sean. And it said on there, son, husband, brother, father, grandfather. And it just listed all these traits about this guy. And I thought, that is so sweet they remembered in that way. At Mount Hope Cemetery in Rochester, there's a marker for a guy who had been a Sunday school superintendent for 32 years, I think it was. And what a wonderful way to be remembered. This guy wanted to make sure his church helped disciple all generations, and so he oversaw the Christian education program in his church and maybe the area for some 32 years. That's a spiritual legacy. Reminding folks helps create an enduring ministry. We're all limited engagements, right? We're all here just for a breath, like the grasses that pass away. But we can create an eternal echo in people's lives. We have a pastor friend. His wife's name is, her name is Echo. I said her name is Echo. Come on, I was going to do it a third time. Her name is Echo. There, thank you. Oh, thank you. I feel like her middle name ought to be Charlie, right? Echo Charlie or something. What an interesting name. And she is a dear, godly young lady. And she is already echoing in lives. I want that to be true of all of you as well. Jesus wants that to be true of all of you, that you would leave in spiritual, here we go, echo in life, people's lives. Deuteronomy 6 says, talk about these things at the dinner table when you're walking along, morning to night, so your kids will remember these things. Joshua 24 has that same idea, and Judges as well tragically talks about, and there grew up another generation after them who did not remember the Lord their God. And we see the fall off of that, like we see in our own country, with a spiritual heritage and legacy that increasingly is diminishing in lots of ways in a nation that reflects less and less Christian virtues and values. Remembering, remembering. So here's some memory joggings for mentoring, because I want all of you to pick up the task of being reminders, not people who nag, but remindings. One is, how do you remind folks? Well, a life well lived. You know people in this very body who are very quiet vocally, but very loud with how they've lived their life in a good and godly way, right? I think I've met Ron Linton, right? I think I may have met him. I was a pastor in the district for 8 years, so we may have overlapped at some point in some district thing. It doesn't matter. His legacy is continuing to leave a nice, here we go, echo in here. I know Kevin Martin, and thank God for the ongoing legacy he had here, right? I told Kevin when I knew he was leaving, I said, I'm going to miss you, but your parents better not move, because they host us and feed us and encourage us and are kind to us and mutually insult one another at the table. And that's just Judy. Maybe not. It's fun to watch Judy's eyes start growing bigger when Papa Bear there, we get going at the table. And I still have shin marks. I think she thought she was kicking him. And I still got a limp from the... what an echo of ministry there. A life well lived. And then teaching and reminding folks. And retell those faith stories. Now, Jim, I hope you'll still write it down. I hope maybe someone will maybe just do a short video. And your family's going, well, it won't be short, but that's okay. I hope you will permanently somehow record that life story, because it's the opposite of what we often think. In fact, when you told me your life verse, I ran to, I thought it's going to be, when I'm weak, he's strong. But no, you, the Psalm verse, perfect. People need those kind of life stories to be told, my friend. Keep telling those testimonies of God's good work. Not everybody gets to write a book. Some people write books about how God stepped in to a young, messed up couple and brought the grace of God. And I thank God that you only know about that probably because of reading about it in a book, because you were younger and Jesus stepped in. How cool is that? If you didn't know Josh and Chrissy's, is it Live Together? What's it called? What is it? Get Your Love Back. Very memorable book. Tell those stories. Who today can you send a text, make a phone call to encourage them? Maybe somebody that used to be a part of this body that you know is not in church, but they need to get back, if not here, at least somewhere. Maybe spiritually nudge them as a spiritual mom or dad in their lives. Encourage them. Someone comes to mind today that was a spiritual father to you on Father's Day. They would not probably be hurt if you sent them a short text saying, I'm reminded of your spiritual input in my life, and I thank God for you. Who can you remind today and bring to mind these things. Maybe it's a gift, a stone of remembrance. I pray this church would be very deliberate in making disciples, and part of making disciples is picking up the ministry of reminding, and all of you being spiritual parents to others and learning to do that. So that when I'm gone, when Ron's gone and Kevin's gone, after their departure, you'd be able to recall these kind of things. Let's pray. Lord, it is always a joy to be here, and I'm thankful. We're thankful for the good work that's up here, and I pray for spiritual protection in the midst of that. May each of these brothers and sisters continue to bear with one another in love. May they stay committed to the big gospel things, allowing for latitude in things that are far less significant, and even modeling that. Thank you for the ministry, the multi-generational ministry that is part of this church. I pray you'd protect that. Continue to grow and develop that. Thank you for dads today. Lord, pray for those who have father wounds, that they'd look to you for healing. And I pray that you'd help each of us in each of our ages of our kids to love them well, and that there'd be spiritual fathering happening in this church until you come back. And we pray this in the name of our Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
As I shared that story about the elephants earlier in the sermon today, what I don't think I told you, as I realized I was sitting down there, they brought the older male elephants back to the community where they took them from, and right away you saw the young elephants change because of that male role model that they had from the older elephants. And so I bring that up, and I want to remind us that we are fathers. We make mistakes, right? And that's okay. We can go to our children and say, I'm sorry for the mistakes that I've made. Right? And we get to go to our children and know that we can be forgiven by them, and that we can go to our Father, ultimately, who holds all forgiveness for us, and ask for forgiveness when we make mistakes, and know that what we did in the past does not define us, that we are forgiven of our past. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We know that you are so good, and that you do forgive us when we humble ourselves. We go to you and ask for that forgiveness, Lord. Lord, you are the ultimate example of what a father is. Lord, may you continue to create us more like you. May you align our hearts more with you, Lord, as we seek you more. The most important job we have is to get to know you, to follow you. Lord, you are so good, and you are our God, our Father, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.